Today's guest, Markus Sehner, Managing Director at Global One Automotive.
Those guys from the supply industry who are delivering today directly to this platform to rethink the situation, if it's really worth to do so. At least we know the story of those guys that they going to lose their margin that they have today, because the more or the bigger you become within this e-commerce platform, you will be more and more treated to reduce your margin and your prices. So if it's a good idea to do so, I'm not sure.
Tech Talk, the automotive aftermarket podcast.
Hi and welcome to the next episode of our Tech Talk aftermarket podcast. Today we are talking trading groups again with Markus Sehner. I really appreciate that he was joining us at Automechanica Frankfurt. We talked about him joining Global One Automotive during the pandemic, what differentiates Global One Automotive from all the other ITGs, their involvement in Caruso as a shareholder, and use cases for telematics data to provide value-added services, especially the current state of the RepDate workshop booking initiative. E-commerce with the big players trying to get their aftermarket revenue share, why he thinks we should be technology agnostic on the way to be carbon neutral, and why electrification is not as sustainable as many might think. He's a straightforward guy with strong opinions on certain topics, which I really appreciate. So without further ado, let's jump right into the podcast.
Hello and welcome to our next Tech Talk here from Automechanica Frankfurt. And with our next guest, we're going back into the ITG business again. It's Markus Sehner, Managing Director of Global One. Markus, thank you for taking the time today.
It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Since you are also a very big player in the ITG world, many of the people, of the listeners, will probably know you, but for the ones who don't know you, could you give us a little introduction about you?
Okay, then let's start with the most important topic. I'm proud to be a father of three adult children, age 23, 24 and 26 already, who are now starting also into their business life.
Are they in the aftermarket? That's the question.
That's the question they have to answer later on, because they are going to finish their study within the next couple of months. Let me say it like this. But for sure, I would like to see that. And maybe some contacts can help to push the idea to go also into the independent aftermarket.
Yes.
On the other hand side, I'm 51 year old. And I've been working for more than 25 years in the supply industry for a big manufacturer for bearings, so wheel bearings and all this kind. And since 2020, mid of 2020, I have had the honor to become the managing director of Global One Automotive.
So you were one of the first COVID-only managing directors, starting right at the pandemic. How was that?
Yeah, honestly speaking, when I resigned the end of 2019 and then the beginning of 2020, the pandemic occurs, the first reaction was, I'm sorry for that.
We can beat that.
Yeah, no problem. But it's the original what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
But honestly, with the view back to this time, I can say now that it was extremely helpful to have this pandemic situation to recreate this ITG, the Global One Automotive ITG. That means we have pressed the reset button, give the idea of an ITG who should bring an added value to the market, a clear chance to create something within the last 2 years, and we have done so.
So actually, we had a little chat before, and you said you kind of started with a plan and you were ready to go, and then the pandemic kind of kicked in. But then it became like an advantage, because you had the necessary headspace and to focus on the stuff you wanted to change at the beginning.
And that is exactly the point. Due to the fact that we have not been possible to travel, we can concentrate really on the main important topics to create the needed services which bring added value to, in first row, for our shareholders, but also for the suppliers. And due to the fact that I have been responsible within my years within the industry, also for the ITGs.
Yeah.
Also an added value for the entire market. And that is very important topic for Global One Automotive. Not to think just in one direction, in our direction. I think we should all support the idea of the common independent aftermarket. For sure, we have some concurrence on the market, but within certain topics, you should really work together to secure the independent aftermarket from companies which try to catch some market shares from outside.
Yes, and they're coming from every direction.
From every direction, yeah.
But fast forward 2 years, and now we are sitting here at Automechanika Frankfurt. It feels like nothing really has changed. So we are back to the old times. First on-site event since 2018. How does it feel to be back in the real life again?
That's amazing, honestly. So there are so many faces we have not seen for the last 2 or 3 years. And for us, it was instantly clear that we would like to have our own booth stand here at Automechanika, when it was more or less clear that it was going to happen now again live. Because it is mandatory to have the direct contact to the people. Our business is living from a human network, especially the independent aftermarket. It's a people business, without a doubt. You can do everything within Teams or however you do an online
meeting. We downloaded and installed all the solutions.
Absolutely. With all the backgrounds and different yes. and so on. And but at least it will never be a comparable situation than if you have the people in front of you.
No, definitely. And I think, you know, many people were asking me the same. Do we still need exhibitions and stuff? And I said, maybe we don't need, we have to think about the concept. Maybe the trade show, as it was like 50, 40 years ago, it's of course, it's not the same. But what our industry, the automotive aftermarket, definitely needs is a place where we can come together and exchange and forge collaborations on future topics.
Yeah, and therefore, for me, it's so important that we encourage those guys who are today not here to rethink the situation. It's once more the same issue that we have mentioned earlier. We have to protect our market. And if some big players are missing within the most important fair for the independent aftermarket, it's a big disadvantage from my point of view. What I've learned also within the last 2-3 days is that some of those guys who are currently no stand booth here are unhappy with the decision that has been made, because they have realized that, especially the last 2 days, sorry for that, has been more than worth to have a booth stand, because the quality of the meetings has been increased instantly. And the visitors are there, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, we are kind of right next to each other in Hall 3, and Hall 3 was packed yesterday on Monday, and today there was really good business for us as well. So, as you know, that many, like from all the 100,000 people now watching us, if you would have to pitch Global One to them, what is your key differentiator? What's your USP as an ITG?
We are the friendly ones, honestly speaking.
Well, that's a nice tagline, Global One, the friendly ones.
Right. Our logo is We Are One. And that's what we are pushing also, is we have a really family business. All our shareholders are family-owned companies.
Yeah.
And that is within our spirit. And I think the most important topic is that we would not like to create another ITG monster on the market. Mm. You would like to stay... I don't like the word exclusive, but it's maybe the word which fits in the best way, because we see no added value to expand into the Asia-Pacific region, to add on every single distributor would like to become an ITG member. Mm. It should fit to our belongings. It should fit to our family spirit. Mm. And... maybe if we're going to have within the next 3 to 5 years to come at least 30, 40 shareholders, we would be happy. Because for us, it's mandatory that those family spirit is going to stay. Yeah? And we invite really those guys who have the same idea that we have to get in contact with us. If we talk about added value and maybe the, how to say, the added value from Global One, if, coming back to your you know, to your question, is that what I've mentioned already earlier? We would like to create also value for the entire workflow or supply chain, because it's for sure important for us that our shareholders are happy in the first row. But it's for us also important that our suppliers are happy. And once more, we have to protect our entire market. And therefore, we are committed to a certain kind of projects. And I'm more than sure that you're going to ask me later on about this topic.
One of my next questions would be, what are the hot topics within Global One right now?
The hot topics, you're sitting here with Tech Alliance. It's a connection to Caruso. It's pretty near. Yeah, and you know that we are one of those guys who are supporting intensively the RepDate solution. And maybe you can imagine we are today the smallest ITG out of the six. And for us, it's a huge investment in money, which is hard to handle. And we have to ask our shareholders if they would support this idea. And that is once more an advantage of such a smaller ITG.
You get things done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just one meeting. And after the meeting, you are clear. You have not to wait for a month. And they said, okay, understood. That is one of the most important topics to solve if we talk about a telematics solution. For sure, the add-on of a booking platform is also important and nice to have. But to think further, so that it means the next 3 to 5 years to come, we as an independent aftermarket have to have also this solution as the car manufacturers today already have, like My Audi, My Mercedes app, however. And
But there I have a question, because I drive an Audi, and you have, when you get your new Audi straight from the factory, this all these services are enabled. So it is like a connected car, and you can use the My Audi app, and the manufacturer is trying to sell me services. But then after 3 years, it's 2 years old now, this stops. And Audi asks you if you want to continue using, or if you want to continue that I am selling you services, please pay €300 per year.
Oh, they're really asking that?
Yes.
Okay.
So how does that work? So,
I think that is a premium market. And those guys who are buying an A6, A8 or however, they are unfortunately also open to do that then, at least, because they are so linked to this brand solution. But I'm also sure that you can also find A1 or A3 Audis, that these customers will not accept this kind of proposal, if I can say it like this.
Yes.
And those guys, we have to trigger, if I can use like this, to think about to give this permission to the independent workshop. And that is what we are currently creating with Caruso and RepDate solution.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we need to create value-added services for the drivers, basically, so that they see it's useful, and furthermore that they are willing to share the information with us. Because even when the car manufacturers open all the gates and we are flooded with data, if the user doesn't give his consent, we just don't get it. So I guess with RepDate, which is a very good use case, so I can easily book stressless, I can get my new workshop appointment, and we are on the right way with that, I guess.
Exactly. And once more, it's not the view just to Germany. We would like to have with RepDate a solution for the entire European market in the first step.
Yeah.
And that is more than worth to invest time and money in this project. And if I can say it here, I would like to invite some people more, maybe also some colleagues from the other ITGs, to encourage them to have a deeper view to this RepDate solution. Because also here, we have to think as one family. And without this telematic solution coming out of our market, we're going to lose also this business case in the future.
Yes.
Others outside are already more than ready to take these pieces off the market.
Definitely.
And we can see already some tries to catch these kind of telematic solutions from the outside.
Yes. So, and that's an important topic, I think, which is kind of unique in the aftermarket, even though there are these three pillars like manufacturer, trade, and workshop. But the whole market or every single one can only be successful if the whole market is doing well. When one in the chain is not flourishing in business, it's getting difficult for all the others as well.
That's right. Yeah, completely agree with that.
Yep. Another big topic, and we talked about the new players stepping in and biting into aftermarket revenue. I mean, we can see it from here, hall number 4. eBay, one of those big new e-commerce player, eBay, the other one, Amazon, have a new appetite for aftermarket business. So what's your take on this e-commerce topic?
How to say? I'm happy that they are companies coming from the US. And we know already that those companies have tried it several times, or since years, I have to say, to get into the independent aftermarket to catch up some market shares.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not been successful until today. And I'm wondering if they would be successful also in the future, let me say, within the next 10 years to come.
Yeah.
Because I think the attempt is, fortunately for us, the wrong way, because the European market is not comparable with the US market. It's so fragmented, not even in country-wise, but in the countries also regional-wise.
Yes.
And I think we have so... No, not I think. I'm more than convinced that we have so strong dealership distributors within Europe, which are doing an amazing job, and especially within the logistics and with the training, say, they're offering towards our independent garage workshops. I think that we are well prepared to fight against this this idea coming from eBay or Amazon or other e-commerce platforms to catch this business on their side. I have no fear about that. For sure, they're going to have a certain kind of a market share,
yeah,
but it will not be important from my personal point of view, because our market is too strong and well prepared. And together with the industry or with the suppliers, I think we are well prepared to protect ourselves.
Yes, I tend to agree, because also we are the value chain is connected from manufacturer to distributor to the workshop, and distributors can create real added value to the workshop with their workshop concepts, and they do training, maybe educational, yep, stuff regarding the electrification of vehicles. This is something like the big e-commerce, or at least the marketplaces like eBay or Amazon, are not focusing on, and probably never will be able to do so.
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly that what I'm thinking about, this situation. And we should stay strong within our mind, because we are a strong community. And a strong community should stay together. And also here, I think that we should mention it also. We should really encourage also those guys from the supplying industry who are delivering today directly to this platform to rethink the situation, if it's really, yeah, worth to do so. Because at least we know the story of those guys, that they're going to lose their margin that they have today. Because the more... or the bigger you become within this e-commerce platform, you will be more and more threatened to reduce your margin and your prices. So if it's a good idea to do so, I'm not sure.
Yes, and also what many not consider, it's not depending on which you go. For example, on Amazon, we see it with other industries. When you start selling on Amazon, and you have like a big seller, very hot product, Amazon will of course take notice, and then they offer it themselves. So that's how it works. So you kind of create your own competition through like maybe a tiny bit of additional sales.
Yeah, it's a big threat. And therefore, once more, they should think twice, those guys who are using this channel more and more intensively.
Definitely. Another hot topic, of course, ongoing topic is the electrification of the car park. Now we have kind of a due date when the last combustion engine will be sold, at least in the EU. But all the things happening to the aftermarket due to this electrification, when will they happen actually? Because everyone is saying they are upon us, but when do we need to be ready for this change?
Huh. It's a very important question, and those guys who know me call me a petrol head. Okay,
I guess many people right, in this
they do the same maybe.
Petrol head, yeah.
I'm more than convinced that this one-way direction with electrification of the car park is not a good one. We should stay open to each technology. This way, which has been decided within the politicians in Brussels, we should rethink the situation. We should work together on this this topic. The good thing is that we have currently the feeling that they have really understand that it could not be the only solution. We have hydrogen solutions. We have e-fuels ready for start if the lobby would accept that. And to stop the entire combustion engine, and here we have really to face the topic that they're going to stop it in Europe, but they build up a new production line in China then. What's the sense behind there? Yeah? And especially electrification, just to answer the question for the workshops, they should not have to fear. Our market is well prepared also in to this direction.
Yeah.
But I hope, and maybe we can find this solution or this topic later on, that this combustion engine is going to survive longer, that this decision made, which has been made, will be postponed a bit, or they should rethink it and integrate new technologies. It has never been a good solution to concentrate just to one technology. Yeah. That has shown us the history, and we are fighting as Global One for this sustainability issue if we talk about the combustion engine.
Yes.
And maybe you come later on to another question, what we would like to mention.
Yes, how are you dealing with the whole sustainability topic? So we just had Schaeffler here, and they presented their sustainability strategy, and we see it a lot with the big players like Bosch, I guess, did their production carbon neutral in 2020 already. Now Schaeffler has some ambitious goals for 2030 and 2040. Mm. What, and I guess there are many smaller manufacturers, but also traders out there who are still in a big uncertainty how that will affect them, what they need to do to fulfill certain sustainability measures. And you as an ITG, do you also support them in that direction?
Well, sustainability is a heavy word,
yes,
within these times, and it's important to take this word serious. But I come back here to your question before, to the electrification,
yep,
and later on to the other topics. Sustainability does not really fit to electrification. It's my point of view. Because what we currently are doing is we create e-mobility cars. We have no final solution what is if the batteries are finished with their life circle. What is the value of the car then? Should we scrap the car? And when I see some manufacturers of modern e-vehicles I'm more than sure that after 8 to 10 years, you have to scrap the car. The quality is not sufficient. To take it a little bit less serious, maybe the most sustainable car is still running in Africa. It's a Mercedes-Benz 200/8 diesel.
Yeah,
they're running already since 8 million kilometers, however. Yeah, that's a sustainability. But coming back to serious, we are here as the independent aftermarket to keep the cars running.
Yes.
Including combustion engine. And if we here take the solution of e-fuels, and we decide as Global One Automotive to be part of the e-fuel alliance, so we are supporting this idea, that would be the main important question of sustainability within the car park.
Do you think the whole e-fuel topic will now gain some momentum again with the change in leadership at Volkswagen?
Right. It's exactly that what I'm thinking. With the change on the managing board, the new one is much more open to rethink the decision making 2 or 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Because he was working hard on still being able to sell his 911s.
It's not only linked to the 911s. Yeah, I think they have already created a solution in Patagonia,
yes,
with, together with Siemens. So the solution is already made. Yeah. Every single Porsche running in the field will is always able to run because the e-fuels will be made by Porsche. But we have to really think about this smart solution for short term. Most probably you know that you can use also for planes, for vessels.
Yeah.
Yeah? And why we should not really push that forward. That is also CO2 neutral. If you produce these e-fuels with wind energy or solar energy. And here we have to push our legislative in Brussels to open the floor for this e-fuel solution. Maybe it's not the solution for the next 30 or 40 years, but it's the...
Maybe it's the gap technology.
Absolutely, absolutely. The hydrogen solution is in development and so on. And then once more, we are standing for openness if we talk about technologies. And that we should do and work on. And not stupidly thinking just in one direction, decision made by people who may be not so linked to the car park and the belongings from the people living in on the countryside.
Yes. Yeah? That's another topic. Another topic which is going around in these halls and on which I know you have a strong opinion as well. it's the end of ownership. So basically, in the future, no one will own a car anymore. Everyone will drive a fleet car. We'll do some car sharing. What's your take on that?
Should I use the word nonsense? Maybe.
Yeah. No. Nonsense is okay.
No, it's... As usual, you will have this solution most probably in the big cities, yes, or in the urban
situation. Me living in Cologne, we have the e-scooters,
yeah,
and they are all
absolutely.
They are all diving in the Rhine.
I'm personally that's also nice. I'm personally living on the countryside in a small village with 1,500 people.
Okay,
and please go there and tell them. You will not own a car anymore. You have to use a fleet solution, however. It's ridiculous, at least, yeah? The majority of the German people live on the countryside.
Yes.
And also here, you have to be open. I think it's a good solution to have this once more in the cities, the urban situations. But we have to stay clear in our mind that we cannot bring all these smart ideas to everyone. We have to reflect on everybody's needs. And this ownership thing will be a part of the market, right?
Yes.
But not for the entire people driving today a car.
Great. So now that we dealt with so many future topics, to finish our little chat for today, when we meet again at Automechanica 2030, what will be the topics we talk about?
My retirement. No, I'm too young.
Can we? Is this some breaking news now?
Yeah. No. So what we are going to talking about, I think there will not be the major changes within our daily work business. We are still human beings, hopefully.
Yes.
And we are doing our business under human beings. And these discussions that we have here shows us the importance of these kinds of fairs. And I count on the fact that in 8 years to come, Automechanica will still be the most important aftermarket fair globally with all important suppliers. But for sure, then we're going to talk more about the topics of telematic solutions, autonomous driving, what will be the legislative if we talk about autonomous driving and so on.
Yeah.
And new we will see new technologies. My personal point of view, hopefully it will come like this. The combustion engine will be still there and will be at least there also in 2040 then. And I'm personally...
But we can make a bet on that. If you drive to Automechanica 2030 in your car with e-fuels, all the drinks are on me.
Right. We can do that. That's a nice bet.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So I will buy a canister now to show that it's possible.
Need to call Volkswagen to speed it up.
Maybe not only Volkswagen, but really, honestly, I think the e-fuel alliance, it's more than worth to support. And also here I'm going to invite the people who are looking, the millions of people looking at this channel here, to think about, to support this idea. It will help our environment.
Where can they find more information on it?
Yes, really, you just have to Google E-Fuel Alliance.
Okay.
And you're immediately going to have the information. They are also on LinkedIn and so on. They're posting a lot of information.
Okay.
They're very active. A lot of companies have joined now this initiative. And it's more than worth to support it. So I think the independent aftermarket is so strong. We have had, within the last decade, so many challenges and obstacles. We're still here.
We've been dead a couple of times. And still,
yeah, and the aftermarket is going to survive also in 30. I have no doubt about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Then
thank you very much again for taking the time. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I hope we will catch up soon.
Thank you. Hopefully it was interesting for your audience. And
definitely. When this video goes out, your LinkedIn inbox will be flooded.
I count on the fact.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's that. As I mentioned before, we talked all the big topics. Markus was a great guest, really straightforward, which I really, really enjoyed. If you did as well, smash that subscribe button in your podcast app. As always, you'll find all the relevant links in the show notes. Tech Talk Season 1 is now coming a step closer to its end, but we have one more episode left, so I'll hope you tune in for our season finale as well. So long, take care, and bye-bye.